Amen. Thank you, Craig and Patty. That was a blessing and a beautiful, beautiful song and a wonderful truth. Very, very good. Well, here in Genesis 37, we go back to the story of Joseph. It is an amazing story. I love the story. I make reference to Joseph often. But today I want to talk to you about Joseph's clothes. And we have one of those here as we read our text. Verse 3, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. So this morning I draw attention to the life of Joseph through Joseph's clothes. Father, I pray that you bless the preaching and that you will speak to our hearts, give us what we need today. I pray, Lord, that your will be done in our lives. It will be different because of the service today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the story of Joseph is an amazing one. Every time I read it, I think of Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Praise God for that. It may not seem good, and it may not look good right now, and it may be the worst day of our lives, but all things do work together for good to them that love God. God's good. He's always good. Now, I don't care what everybody else, it does not matter what the newspaper says, what the internet says. It doesn't matter what a news report is or any of that. God is still on the throne. God's good. And, you say, this is happening, that's happening. I understand that, but all things work together. They have to work together. And sometimes we're impatient with that working together, but things work together for good always. God is in control. Do not think that God's not in control of our country. Do not think that God's not in control. He has everything under control. He knows what's going on. No doubt about that. But in the midst of this, we also know this about Joseph. We know Joseph did right. Amen. Don't miss that. Whatever you do, don't just say, well, I can just do whatever I want to do and everything's going to work out good. Pastor said so. That's not how it is. Joseph did right. Joseph had to do right. Joseph had to have some character. And he had to do right. There were many opportunities Joseph had where he could have fallen flat on his face. I mean, he could have griped, he could have complained, he could have given in to immorality. There were many opportunities for Joseph to mess up. And I'm not saying, we're all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible does not record anything in Joseph's life that he did that would cause things to go any other way than to be God's will and God's blessing on his life. We should never get the idea that we can live a life of wrong and things turn out well. We need to get away from that. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. I mean, if you go to school and our school starts this week and others will follow suit and you go to school and you tell lies and you tell lies and you tell lies. I mean, someday you're going to pay for that. I mean, it's just going to happen. It's you because why? Because you're a liar. That's why. And you're going to have trouble. There's going to be problems that come from that. You're mean to people. There's going to be problems for being mean to people. You have wicked thoughts. Well, eventually those wicked thoughts will turn to wicked actions and something's going to happen. I mean, there's no question about that. And so don't ever get this idea that, everything's going to be good and everything's going to be great when I'm doing wrong, because it's not. In fact, the most miserable people in this room today are those who are Christians who don't do right. And you want, why is all this happening to me? Well, it's happening because you're not doing right. You need to do right. And still you're going to have trials. Still there can be problems. Still there's valleys. But as we just heard in the song, he goes with us in the valleys. There's a big difference in being in a valley alone and being in a valley where the Lord's there and he's helping you out. Amen. And so understand that there are always those who do right that have problems and trials. Joseph's a great story about that. I mean, it would look like Joseph's a bad guy and he's paying for it. But in reality, he just was trying to do right. But I want to tell his story through his clothes. And it's kind of interesting. I said, my wife said, what are you preaching tomorrow? And I said, I'm talking about Joseph's clothes. And she gave me my 3-point outline because it is kind of obvious in the scripture. And by the way, preachers ought to preach what's obvious. Amen? Amen. Amen. I think so. But anyway, first of all, we have number one, Joseph's coat of truth. And I'm just going to call it his coat of truth. The Bible says here that it gives in our text that Israel, or Jacob, he loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And I'm going to call that a coat of truth. Now, the story about that is Reuben was the firstborn, and he had the firstborn privileges, no question about that. But Reuben forfeited that by his sin and his wicked lifestyle. And the others, the Bible says in verse 1, in verse 2, it says, Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. These other brothers, there was an evil report, there was something, I don't know what they did, but all of them had something in their life that apparently their father checked out, and they had done some things that were very evil and very wrong as well. And somehow Joseph had favor with his father. And boy, what an amazing thing that is. He somehow had favor with his father. Now, the Bible says in verse 3, he was the son of his old age. And I think about Joseph's life, and don't miss that, and I want to throw it in today because the Bible gives it to us. He was the son of his old age, and I think maybe that's speaking of the fact that he was the son after his dad got right with God. He was the son after Jacob, whose name means trickster. His name was changed to Israel, which means a prince with God. I think that maybe the reference here is Jacob got some things right, and Jacob started living right, and Joseph was the son that was the most influenced by righteousness than any of the sons. Now, again, I don't know why the scripture says that. That's what I think is the reason why. And if anything else, to me, you know, the others grew up with daddy as a trickster, and Joseph grew up with daddy as a prince with God. And I'll just say this, you know, it makes a difference how you grow up. It can make a huge difference how you grow up. And you know, a dad that is saved, a dad that has trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, most of the time, I'm thinking about the Philippian jailer, the Bible says he got saved, and then it says all his house. You know, everybody else got saved after dad got saved. There's something about dad getting saved. There's something about dad saying, you know what? I'm a Christian. There's something about dad saying, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize because of my sin I deserve hell. But I'm going to call upon the one who can save me. I'm going to call upon the one who says he'll give me a gift called eternal life. And there's something about a dad bowing down and a dad saying, oh God, will you save my soul? There's something about that that causes a little child to say, well, my daddy will do it, I'll do it. If it's right for my dad, it's right for me. Dad, if you're not saved today, please get saved. Please trust Christ as your Savior. That's wonderful when mom trusts Christ, and that's a wonderful thing too. And a lot of children will look at mom's life and they'll say, hey, I want to get saved too. But it sure makes a difference how they grow up. It sure makes a difference in the home. And I believe it made a difference here in the home of Joseph as Joseph grew up. You know, maybe the others didn't hear Dad read the Bible. Maybe the others didn't go to church with Dad. Maybe the others didn't get to hear Dad explain as he disciplined them why God said this is wrong and why God says this is right. You know, maybe the others didn't get that. But I think Joseph did get that because prince with God means he was pretty close to God. And Joseph, I believe, grew up in a different kind of a home. Please, folks, if your home is not what it ought to be, make it what it ought to be for your children. Make it what it ought to be for those that are with you in your house. And because it does make a difference. If you were to study the statistics of criminals and people in jail, people in prison and all that, so much of the statistics, and there's studies on all this, it goes back to the home. The home does make a difference. Regardless of what politics are saying today, regardless of the direction our nation's going, my God says the home does make a difference. And so I think about Joseph's coat of truth, and he is, according to verse 3, the son of his old age. And certainly Jacob or Israel, he loved Joseph very, very much. But I want you to understand something this morning, and that is this. It had absolutely nothing to do with anything Joseph did, necessarily. You know, Joseph had not proven himself yet. And I think that's why verse 4 says, when his brethren saw their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. They couldn't stand it. And certainly growing up with that was difficult in the home. I'm sure about that. But you know, I think about their jealousy and their envy and all of that and this coat. kind of set everything off. And these brothers, they, you know, look what Dad did for him, and look what's going on in his life, and who does he think he is, and, you know, all those kind of things I think were going on. But I call it it's a code of truth. It is a code of truth, because that coat of many colors, that was the truth. Joseph was actually going to rise above everyone. That coat of many colors, that was a special truth that was given to him that proves he was chosen. Now, I say all that to say this. It wasn't Joseph's idea, the coat of many colors. It wasn't made by Joseph, that coat of many colors. It had nothing to do with his efforts. He had not proven himself yet, but he was chosen. He was chosen because his father loved him. Now, if we could just dismiss ourselves from the father loving him more than the brothers and just understand that the father loved him, all of a sudden I can feel a little bit like Joseph, because my father loves me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And all of a sudden I realize that my father in heaven, he loves me. He loved me enough to send his son to die on the cross to pay for my sins. And, I did nothing to earn salvation. You've trusted Christ today. You're a Christian today. You're a child of God today. It's not because of our works. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy that he saved us. And why? I don't know, but God commended his love toward us. And he loves me. I think Joseph probably many times sat and wondered, I wonder why my father loves me so much. And I'll be honest with you, folks, I wonder the same thing about my heavenly father. Why do you love me so much? I know me, and he knows me, but he loves me. And my friend, today I want you to know this, he loves you so much. He loves you. He sent his son Jesus to die for you so that you could be saved. And you know, God chose. He chose to die for us. He chose to send his son to die on a cross for us. He chose to do that. He chose me to have a work to do for him. That always amazes me. He chose me. I mean, it's like Jacob said, Joseph, you're special. Here's a coat. You are special. He didn't know why he was special. In fact, later on in Joseph's life, or in Jacob's life, he's going to think Joseph's dead, and it's going to ruin his whole life pretty much. He doesn't know why. He just knows he's special. Oh, folks, don't misunderstand something. You're special to God. You're special to God. You have some. God has a plan for your life. It's as if when I got saved and I got up from kneeling at the side of that bed and asking Jesus into my heart, it's as if I got up and he put a coat on me and he said, my son, you are special. You're special. There's something that I have for you to do. What a wonderful thing to be able to do something for God. Doesn't matter what it is, it's for God. There is nothing bigger than anything else as far as something for God. It's just being able to do something for God. And Joseph's coat of many colors is a coat of truth, because Joseph was going to do something for God. Now, remember what I said in the beginning. Joseph still had to do right. But God called him. God called him to be saved. God called him to do something, to serve. God called me to be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Son, you are whosoever. Call. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. And he calls you to salvation. As a teenage boy, I'd go to preaching services. I'd go for all the wrong reasons. Everything was the wrong reason. I'd go to disrupt the service. I'd go to look at the girls. I'd go to flirt with the girls. I'd go to sit in the back and talk. I mean, I went for every reason but the right reason. But it did not matter to God in heaven, because God in heaven still was able to tap me on the shoulder. He was able to cause my heart to beat harder. He was able to speak to my heart and to show me that no matter what my motive was, he was calling me to be saved. And over and over and over, I'd sit there and think, why am I feeling so bad? why am I? I've got all my friends here. I've made them laugh. We've made fun of the song. We made fun of the singer. We're having, and all of a sudden the old heart would start beating faster and faster, and the sweat would break out. And my long hair, back then it was way back on my shoulders. Little drops of sweat was starting to fall down on that long hair down the sides and down my arms. And boy, the underarms were soaked. And I was sweating. Wait a minute, what's going on here? Who turned up the heat? And it was God just saying, son, you need to get saved. You need to be saved. You need to call upon the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and save you. And here's, and the thing is, later on here in the story, Joseph dreamed this dream. In verse 5, Joseph dreamed a dream. He told it his brethren. They hated him yet the more. Why? Because he dreamed a dream that he was going to be over them. of all things, every time I read that, I think, Joseph, don't tell them. They are going to hate you. They did. We all know the story. And Joseph tells him the dream, and he says, it's almost like, and it's funny to me every time I read it, it's almost like he's saying, isn't this great? Oh, man. He said, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. He said, you guys all bow down to me, isn't this great? And it's like, taking a knife and just poking them with it, and saying, come on, isn't this good? And smiling while you're doing it. Yeah, they weren't very happy. But I've got news for you, folks. They might not have been happy with it. He told mom and dad the same dream, and his father rebuked him. Huh? And you know what? And he didn't like it either. Nobody seemed to like it, but I got news for you. It was the truth. It was the truth. That is what's going to happen, and we know the end of the story. It is the truth. Now, here's the thing. God showed him the truth. You know what? We don't need a dream. We have the truth right here. The world hates it when you say, I know I'm going to heaven. People get very bent out of shape when you say, if you died today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? They'll say, you can't know that. Leave me alone. I don't want to hear it. And you don't know that you are. Oh, but I do know. People get all upset. You talk about, hey, we're going to heaven someday. Jesus is coming. He's going to take us. And people get all bent out of shape. But you know what? They can make fun of my story. They can be angry at my story. But it is the truth. It really is the truth. Just like Joseph's coat, it was true. That coat of many colors. Joseph, you stand out. God has a plan for your life. And Joseph dreamed, and God showed him the truth, and God shows us the truth in His word. Every promise in this book is for me. Every promise I can count on. It's going to happen. Everything. That's why, folks get around, oh, the economy, this, and the problem here and that, and all that kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. I'm very aware of all those things. They do affect me. But I've got news for you. I'm not going to hang my head. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to be down. Why? Because I have a code of truth. My God said, here's the truth. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. My God shall supply all your needs. That's the truth. Joseph wore his coat knowing that's the truth that God showed me. Okay, my dad loves me. Amen. Praise God, my father loves me. Amen. My father has a will for my life. Amen. And my father's will isn't going to be stopped by any human being other than one. And you know who that is? Me. That's why I started off saying there was only one person who could stop this whole plan. And that was Joseph himself. There's only one person who can stop the plan God has for me. You can't. The government can't. There's only one. That's me. I can stop it. And they tried to stop him. Joseph's brothers, they had envy and jealousy, and they did all they could. They said, we're tired. We're not going to put up with this dreamer. We're not going to put up with his coat of many colors. And we're tired of all this. And we're tired of hearing about him being over us. And But it was the truth. It really was, as we know. They said, we'll stop it. And so Joseph came, and we'll not get into the whole story, but they decided to cast him into a pit. And there's Joseph in a pit, and he could have got mad. He could have got angry, could have blamed God, could have said, what's going on with God? Hey, he's still wearing his coat. He still has the coat of many colors. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, and I could almost hear him say, hey, thought your father loved you. I thought everything was going to be all right. Thought you were going to be in control. You're down in a pit, oh, coat of many colors. You know, the old devil likes to get us in a pit, doesn't he? He'll get us down there. Hey, where's your God now, Christian? Thought your father is God in heaven. Where is he now? Oh, he's still there. Sometimes I'm in a pit because then I'm forced to look up. You know, when you're on the mountain, you don't look up so much. But when you're in a pit, you look up pretty much all the time. Hey, where's your coat? Oh, it's still the truth. It's all still true. You know what? Everything is still true. My Father is my Father. I know I'm going to heaven. I am going to heaven. There's no question about it. And God has promised me that I can do all things through Christ, and we are more than conquerors. It's all still true. It's all still true. Amen. So they pulled him out of the pit, and they sold him as a slave. They wanted to kill him, but they sold him as a slave, and they took his coat. This first piece of clothing that we're talking about, they took his coat of truth and they destroyed it and put it, they shredded it and put animals' blood over it, and they took it back to his father so that his father would think that he was dead. But you know what? You can destroy the coat, but the truth is still the truth. You know, and the devil would, in my mind, I can hear the devil telling his daddy, well, that's so much for that. It's all over with. But I got news for you. Truth is always the truth. And the devil can say all he wants to say, and the devil's crowd can say all they want to say, and the demons can bother you and poke at you. And what are you going to do now? I'm going to keep trusting him because he's the truth. He is my Father. He said, if I call upon him, he will save me. And he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And he said, I can do all things through Christ. He said that we are more than conquerors. He said, lo, I am with you always. How much more do you want me to tell you? Listen to me. The truth is still the truth. I don't care what anybody else says or does. And the brothers, they sold him as a slave. And Jacob thought he'd never see his son again. He thought he'd never, you know, I guess that's it. Coat is destroyed. The message of truth, though, continues, even though the coat was destroyed. And I got news for you. Follow his truth, and you cannot be stopped from God's will. It's not possible. Not possible. Well, what if we die and find out that we're going to go to hell anyway? It's not possible. Cannot happen, not for a child of God. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. He says, lo, I am with you always. He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And if I did go to hell somehow, the Holy Spirit is there, and it's no longer hell. I'm just saying, it's not possible. And we have that truth to hold on to. The coat's destroyed, Joseph. What are you going to do? All I know is God showed me something. All I know is God said that someday I would rise up. That's all I know. Yeah, but Joseph, you're a slave, man. I mean, here you are. You're going to be sold as a slave. You're wearing old slave garments now. Yeah, but in my heart, there's a coat of truth that I'm holding on to. I don't care outwardly how I may look. And I may look beaten, and I may look worn, and I may look wore out. And I may look like the end is here, and I may look like it's all over with. And I apologize if I look like that, but I got news for you right in here. I know we are more than conquerors. And I can just imagine in my mind old Joseph trying to be positive, and it doesn't look good, but it always is good for God's kids. It always is. And I'm going to tell you, the only thing that's going to stop us is us. The only thing that stops you is you. The only thing that stops me is me. Otherwise, that coat of truth is the coat of truth. And I go back to the idea that Joseph was favored by his daddy. And it takes me back to that word that I love to use so often that's called grace. I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to be able to serve God. I don't deserve any of those things, but it is true. When the devil points his bony finger at me and he says, "You don't deserve that," I have to say, "You're right. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be a child of the King. I don't deserve a mansion in heaven. I don't deserve to inherit what I can inherit from Him. I don't deserve the streets of gold. I don't deserve His love. I don't deserve His peace. I don't deserve His comfort. I don't deserve any of it. But God's amazing grace is true. And it's true for you too. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see." And it's all grace. It's all grace. Joseph, what's going on? You're a slave now, buddy. What do you think about that? I just think amazing grace. It's just amazing grace. That's all. I know what God told me. I know what God said. And I know God is going to do what God said. Salvation is not just a new leaf. It's a new life. It's a new life. And Joseph had that life. Truth would not be stopped. Number one is the coat of truth. Number two, we see Joseph's garment of testimony. Genesis 39 is the next part of Joseph's story. Of course, Joseph is a slave now, and the Bible says that he sold as a slave. And verse 39, or chapter 39, Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. So Joseph now, he's past the pit. Joseph is now a slave. Joseph is wearing the garment of a slave. But I submit to you that he receives his second garment that I want to talk about, and that is his garment of testimony. His first garment is his coat of many colors. That's the coat of truth. But number two is his garment of testimony. And we find that in this garment, and I'll just read about the garment, we'll get back to that, in chapter 39 and verse 12, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, she called unto the men of her house, and she ended up lying, and he ends up in prison. But here she is, Potiphar's wife is holding his second piece of clothing that I want to talk about. That's his garment of testimony. The first was his coat of truth, his coat of many colors, and now we have his garment of testimony. And Potiphar has purchased Joseph as a slave, and Potiphar is a wealthy man. Potiphar is a businessman. He's a captain of the guard. He's an Egyptian. He is a busy man, a businessman. He's a wealthy man. And I want you to try to picture this garment. Now, we see it in the hands of Potiphar's wife, but I want you to try to imagine this garment on Joseph. All right? And Joseph is wearing this garment that is a garment befitting his position. And verse 5 tells about his position working for Potiphar. It came to pass from the time he had made him overseer in his house. He's the overseer in the house. And over all that he had, he's the overseer in the house. He's the overseer of all that Potiphar has. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And now Joseph is over everything in this man's house, his fields, and everything. And Joseph is going to wear a garment so that everybody can recognize and take notice. This is Potiphar's servant. And in my mind, I think he's taken off that nasty slave garment whatever it was that he wore with the Ishmaelites, whatever they gave him that's dusty and dirty and sweaty and hasn't been washed at all. It's nasty. And he's thrown that away. And his God has put him now in a beautiful garment, the garment of the servant of a businessman, a garment befitting his position. And now we have Joseph's story as he's in Potiphar's house. And verse 6, it says, "And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored." No question about that, because this man named Potiphar, trusted him with everything. And everybody in that city would recognize that is Potiphar's servant. But there was another one that would recognize Potiphar's servant, Joseph. There was another one that would look at him day in and day out. There was another one that would notice his faithfulness and his work and notice how he looked. And that was the lustful eyes of Potiphar's wife. And she teased him and she tempted him and she flirted with him and she enticed him. In verse 11, well, it says in verse 7, she and his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There's none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife." Joseph said, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Yes, Potiphar's wife noticed as well. And as we close out that passage, the Bible says that his garment, that was a beautiful garment, it would have been befitting his job. That garment was left in her hand. Let me give you some things about this, and I'm just about done here. First of all, it was a testimony. His garment of testimony was a testimony of prosperity. It was a fine garment. He was stripped of his dirty slave market clothes, and Joseph would have been dressed better than most Egyptians there. He did Potiphar's business. He did all of that, verse 4, Joseph found grace in his sight. And there's that grace again. Yeah. Isn't it wonderful that though we might be in a pit for a while? Isn't it wonderful that though we might be sold as a slave for a while and we might live like, I mean, our lives could be difficult. They could be very hard and the world could take its shots at us. But isn't it amazing how God's grace is just always there and always sufficient? It's God's grace is amazing, absolutely amazing, because Joseph goes from pit to prosperity. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. That's my testimony today. A testimony of prosperity. Joseph, doesn't look good for you. Yeah, the pit's pretty tough. Yeah, being a slave, walking all that way, that dust, all that nastiness. But I mean, this garment of testimony it's a testimony of prosperity. God can turn things around so fast, it's amazing. It really is. It's not only a testimony of prosperity, but as I said in the beginning, you have to do right. It's a testimony of propriety. What do you mean? Joseph was proper, and he did right. He was a proper young man. In verse 3, the Bible says his master saw that the Lord was with him. His master could tell, hey, here's somebody that walks with God. Here's somebody that gets their prayers answered. Here's somebody that does right. The master saw what was going on. I mean, Potiphar watched Joseph. You bring a slave into your own home, he'll rob you blind if you're not careful. But he watched Joseph, and he knew Joseph did right. What's our master see in our lives? God, I'd sure like some grace. What's he see? Verse 6, the Bible says that he left everything. He left all that he had in Joseph's hand. He trusted him. Left it all. All that saw Joseph knew that to represent Potiphar in the way he was representing him, he had to be the best. This guy is a good guy. This guy does right. Somebody says, so-and-so, they got that job because they're lucky. Lucky has nothing to do with it. Somebody watched. Somebody gave testimony. Somebody told. Somehow the reference checked out. Doing right always pays off. It always pays off. Testimony of propriety. I mean, people said about Joseph, here's a guy that does right. But you know, the truth is, Satan absolutely hates it when people do right. He hates it. There are more traps and snares in our world today than I think ever have been, especially for the person trying to do right. This trap, this snare that came into Joseph's life is happening day in and day out all across our nation, all across our world. It happens to people sitting right here. It happens in school. It happens on the internet. It happens in chat rooms. It happens texting. It happens in person. I mean, this very trap that the devil sets, trying to stop Joseph. Hey, you say that everybody's going to bow down to you? You say you are more than conqueror? You say you can do all things? I'll show you. Joseph, nobody can stop you but you. And along comes Potiphar's wife. You talk about a temptation. You talk about an amazing, amazing story. This temptation. She does everything she can to bring him down to her level. Lie with me, she says. He refused. Verse 9, he says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Verse 10, it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, every day, every day. Joseph, do you like your position? Huh? You're wearing a real nice garment today. Boy, Potiphar sure has taken care of you, Joseph. Man, you are looking good. Potiphar's wife. Oh, yeah. You better do what she says, buddy. Besides, you're a man. Uh-huh. Come on, Joseph. Use some intelligence. I think Joseph, in his mind, he went back and he thought of that coat of many colors. And he thought about the promise that God had made. And he thought about his God who'd taken care of him and pulled him out of a pit and put him in a beautiful place. You know what? If God could put him in that beautiful place from the pit, I think he thought God could take care of him if he just kept doing right. Folks, God can. God can if we just keep doing right. It's ironic, isn't it? The reason he's in the position he's in, the reason he's wearing that fine garment representing Potiphar, the whole reason is because Potiphar trusted him. Right? With everything. Including Joseph would be there with Potiphar's wife. And day by day, he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within, and the trap was set. Nobody there. The perfect sin. Oh, I guess there aren't any perfect sins. Because the wages of sin is death. And he's the one watching. There aren't any perfect sins, are there? Yeah. When you think it is, it's not. When you think nobody sees what you're typing, they do. When you think nobody sees what you're texting, they can. When you think nobody knows what chat room you're in, they do. When you think nobody knows what website you just went to, they do. When you think nobody knows what you're watching on TV, they know. Somebody knows. He knows. And I'm just saying this. When you think nobody knows that motel room, when you think nobody saw you go into the house, When you think nobody knows your thoughts. When you think nobody sees you flirting. When you think nobody saw the wink. Someone did. He always does. Wait a minute, though. Joseph, you don't want to lose your position, do you? No, I don't. I don't. Well, good. Then go to her. No. I don't want to lose my position that he told me I have. That position is bigger than anything. That position is the position. There is no other position in this world. And you know, it happens all the time. Day by day, wicked women try to lure decent men. Wicked men try to lure decent women. Wicked people try to lure married people. And they are doing that, and Satan's trying to keep us from God's perfect plan. You know, the United States is like a barnyard. The bulls are running to the cows, and the boars are running for the sows. And they don't care what name is on which one. You say, well, yeah, but this is church and we're Christians, and it's happening in churches all across our country. And the heartbreak is unbelievable. But the thing we don't know is what could have been. Because this story right here, Genesis 39, she caught him by his garment saying, lie with me. That could have been the end of that story right there. And we never would have heard another thing about Joseph. Are you listening? We never know anything more about Joseph. What about his dream? Dream's gone. But you see, his garment of testimony is a testimony of prosperity. What a fine, fine garment that was. It's a testimony of propriety. He got it because he did right. But the last thing about that particular garment is it's a testimony of purity. Because there stands Potiphar's wife holding that garment. Are you listening? It's a testimony of purity. She caught him by his garment saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in Hebrew unto us to mock us, talking about her husband. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. Oh, and they're so quick to lie. And it came to pass when he heard, I lifted up my voice and cried. He left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And of course, his Lord had no other choice, Potiphar. He sent Joseph to prison. But that garment of testimony that Potiphar's wife, a wicked, evil woman, she's holding, that garment's a testimony of his purity. It was an outward sign of his inward character. She got his garment, but she didn't get his goodness. She got his garment, but she didn't touch his grace. She got his garment, but she couldn't get his glory. Do you understand? You can print anything you want on a garment. Do you understand that? You could put, I'm great, on a garment. You can print that and wear it everywhere. You can print anything. Brenda and I, just yesterday, we celebrated the 37th anniversary of the day we met. We were talking about it, having a good time by the duck pond. And I reminded her of the shirts that we had printed not long after we started dating. And she had a shirt that said, Doug's Woman. And I had a shirt that said, Brenda's Man. And we wore that, I believe the first time we wore those was to King's Island. Is that correct? I think that's right. And we went with the church group. I know, it is funny, isn't it? And, okay, you can quit laughing now. But the truth of the matter is, those shirts are long gone. Long gone. Amen. In my case, it was outgrown not long after that. But anyway, those are long gone. But our hearts are still the same. Joseph lost his garment in the hand of Potiphar's wife, but he still had his character. And it was a garment of testimony, a testimony of purity. When he fled and got him out, now listen to me, he lost his position, gone. He lost his possessions, gone. He lost his popularity, gone. But he still had God's power. Verse 21, he's in prison now. There he is again, right? Poor old Joseph, yeah. But the Lord was with Joseph. Amen. Now I'll be honest with you. He could have had Potiphar's wife, but he lost the Lord with him. He could have had Potiphar's wife, and who knows what kind of fame and fortune with all that, but the Lord wouldn't have been with him. And so there he is in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph. Some people say, well, he sure was lucky. Luck has absolutely nothing to do with it, because the Lord was with him. And I end with this last point. And we talked about his coat of truth. We talked about his garment of testimony. Number three, we see Joseph's vesture of triumph. Chapter 41, verse 42. And I'm just about done. Chapter 41, verse 42. Yeah, verse 41, Pharaoh said unto Joseph. By the way, he went to jail. You know the story, he's sitting in prison. The butler and the baker come to him and they have a dream. And they have no idea Joseph walks with God. I mean, they know, obviously people know his testimony and that, but they don't know he's going to be able to do this. And the butler and baker, they tell their dream to Joseph, and Joseph interprets the dream, and the dreams come true. The baker dies, the butler lives, and Joseph said, as the butler is leaving, he says, hey, listen, remember me. Remember me when you come out of prison. Remember me, because maybe you can say some words and get me out of here. I mean, the butler, he's an important guy to the king. And remember me, Joseph said, but guess what? The Bible makes it very, very clear. The butler forgot him. You say, man, things just always go bad, don't they? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Joseph's vesture of triumph. Here he is now. Pharaoh had a dream, and Joseph told the dream to him and told him what to do, and God has answered the prayer. God's blessed. And now verse 41, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures. There it is. Vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot. Who's got the first chariot? Pharaoh. Second? Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it? Second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And of course, we know the story. Joseph's vesture is second in command in the world. Yeah, isn't that something? Somebody said, boy, I'll tell you, he sure was lucky. No, the dream came true. Truth always rises to the top, because it's true. Lies always sink. Truth always rises. And his vesture of triumph. Let me give you these things real quick. First thing about this, he's wearing this vesture of triumph despite all the evil devices in his life. All the things that were against him. I'm telling you, devil hates you. He's going to try to stop everything that God has planned for you. Every good thing God wants to use you for, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is, he's going to do all he can to stop you and I. Look at chapter 50, verse 20. Chapter 50 and verse 20. We know this. Here's what the Bible says. Here's how Joseph looked at it. By the way, Joseph's brothers, Joseph's family, Joseph's dad, they all come, and guess what? They all bow to Joseph, just like God said. Because God doesn't have to read history. God makes history. Chapter 50, verse 20. It says, but as for you, talking to his brothers, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. You thought evil. You thought you were going to stop me when you threw me in the pit. You thought you'd pull me out and kill me. You thought you'd sell me as a slave and I'd be gone. You thought evil, But God meant good. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at you. He cannot stop God's will. Just we can. Despite evil devices. He's wearing this vesture of triumph despite all kinds of delays. Folks, honestly, we're just way too impatient. Delay, delay, why am I waiting? Why isn't this happening? God said He would, and God will. Just one little story in the life of Joseph is such a blessing to me. The butler forgot. Why did the butler forget? Doesn't it make you kind of mad at the butler? You know, I read that and say, but the butler forgot him. And I think, dummy, what's your problem? Why did you forget Joseph? Come on. But here's the thing, Brother Korea. Had the butler remembered Joseph and gone to Pharaoh when he did, Pharaoh might have just let Joseph out. And Joseph gets out and does his thing. And he misses out on that vesture of triumph, doesn't he? And so the butler forgot. Now, you know, you and I, if the butler forgot, we'd say, what's wrong with that idiot? What in the world is he thinking? He's not thinking. He did it on purpose. I know he did it. So-and-so told me he did it on purpose. I got two texts from very reliable sources that he did it on purpose. Yeah. Facebook said so. Yeah, I know it's true. If it's on Facebook, it's true. He did it on purpose. Did you just ever wonder if there's a God in heaven or not? Why did the butler forget? I think the butler had it all planned. I think he had a piece of paper. He wrote it down. Tell Pharaoh about Joseph. He wrote it down on a piece of paper. I think he called home and left a message on his voicemail and said, make sure you tell Pharaoh about Joseph. But the piece of paper got washed in the washer, and the voicemail got deleted somehow. And everything that he tried to do to remember, he got Alzheimer's on, and he didn't tell. Why? Because Pharaoh didn't need to know yet. Yeah, but poor Joseph, he's in the prison. He's suffering. He's eating bread and drinking water, and roaches crawl on him at night, and rats bite his toes. And oh, poor old Joseph, I feel so bad for him. And But then Pharaoh had a dream, right? And he had this dream that nobody could tell him what it was. And Pharaoh's sitting there going, I got to know about this dream. I got to know. And all of a sudden, a piece of paper appeared in the butler's pocket. All of a sudden, the voicemail, the little light started to blink. All of a sudden, the text that he sent himself, it's starting to flash. All of a sudden, in his mind, there's Joseph. 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 Pharaoh. Joseph. Boy, that's lucky. I'll tell you what, that sure is lucky, isn't it? Stupidity. Listen. There's going to be delays because God has a plan. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. Not too soon, not too late, but when the fullness of the time was come. I keep thinking, Lord, today would be a good day for the rapture. And He says to me, if it doesn't happen, it wasn't the best day. Why don't you believe that? If the prayer didn't come, it wasn't the best time. If the answer didn't come, it wasn't the best time. Despite evil devices, despite many delays, He wears the vesture of triumph. And the last thing, despite many, 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 many defeats. You know it? Despite lots of defeats. Pit? Well, first, brothers hate me. I told them my dream. They hate me. They absolutely, why do they hate me? I just told them I was going to rise up above them. That's all. Why are they so upset? I don't know, Joseph. Maybe you need to read a book. But then he's in a pit. Then they threaten to kill him. Then he's a slave. Then he's tempted by a wicked woman, and he does right. And now he's a prisoner. And now the butler forgot him. Oh, you talk about defeats in a guy's life, but triumph. There he is. Can you see him wearing that vesture? Second in command in the world. Yeah. And the dream was true, and so it came true. And someday, what God said, it all comes true. 1 week ago tonight, about 9 o'clock, one of our people, Roger Gilbert. He believed it anyway, but he saw it. Wow, it's all true. It is true. How many on their deathbed, how many Christians have said the words, "It is true. It's true. It really is true. I believed it all these years, but wow, yeah. We sang at the cemetery, "When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun." Triumph. He promised. It is true. Joseph's coat of truth, his garment of testimony, his vesture of triumph. Oh yeah, God's plan, God's will, nothing stops it except one thing. Us. Don't stop it. God, I want it all. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's talking, no one's looking around. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, "Preacher, I'm not even sure I'm saved. I've not known anything about trusting Christ as my Savior. Never done it. Never prayed and asked Jesus to forgive me and come into my heart and save me. I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I do not know whether I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? If that's your testimony, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anyone? Pray for me. Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come get anyone. But I'd like to pray for you. Anyone? Pray for me. How many would say, "I am a Christian. I am saved. I've trusted Christ. I know that I'm going to heaven. But God's spoken to my heart today about something in my life. Please pray for me." Raise your hand. All over. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Many, many folks. Others, pray for me. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Father, thank you so much for your grace. We deserve nothing, but you give us everything. Thank you so much for that grace. Thank you for the promise, the truth from the Word of God that we can hold on to. Help us, Lord, to cling to that truth that we would do right, that we would please you, that we'd not make a wrong turn anywhere in our lives, but that we might be able to put on that vesture of triumph, knowing that all along the way there's going to be things that are difficult. There's going to be defeats. There's going to be discouragements. There's going to be hard times. But knowing, God, that you are our God and that everything you promise is always going to be true. Bless the invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.